Good morning. You've tuned into the morning show. All right, here on 88.5 KRFY. I am Jack, and I am back here at 88.5 KRFY this morning after a little absence last week across
you,
from me.
You were missed.
There he is.
And we do want to thank Carrie Logan for subbing for you.
She had a big... We haven't seen her in a long time.
She and her husband Dan were off and about down south to Texas and then cut eastward towards the southeastern United States and then swinging up through Tennessee. Just had a grand time. They were on the road.
Anyway, I'm glad that she was able to stop in yesterday.
Oh, and not yesterday.
A
week ago. But they're giving retirement a good name.
Yesterweek, I guess.
Yesterweek.
Yeah.
Well, if that's the way you want to talk.
Sure. Anyway, that's Jim across from me. I didn't quite introduce you, Jim, and you are also here on Thursday, like usual.
I try to be. And we have two guests with us today. We have somebody who was here, what? Ellen, you were here just, 2 weeks ago?
A couple weeks ago.
Ellen Weissman from the Sandpoint Senior Center. And then we have John Ilsa. He is with Daybreak Center.
Good morning.
Good morning, John and Ellen. Weather.
It's weather time here.
Weather.
I also have a note from the library. Should I read that first while I'm booting up the weather system?
You bet.
Okay, here we go. It is a weather-related note. You can help be a part of the severe weather warning system. There is a National Weather Service weather spotter training offered here in Sandpoint. It is today, Thursday, May 16th, from 6 to 7:30 p.m. at the East Bonner County Library. Community Room B. Information is available at 208-265-2665, but be a volunteer weather spotter. The National Weather Service needs real-time reports of severe weather to effectively warn the public of inclement weather. Even as new technology allows the NWS to issue warnings with more lead time, spotters will always be needed as a link between radar indications of severe weather and ground truth. Storm Spotter volunteers serve as severe weather spotters for the NWS, that's the National Weather Service, and local emergency management programs, and generally have two things in common: an interest in the weather and a desire to serve their community. The class is free and open to the public and open to new spotters and experienced ones who need a refresher. So that is tonight. No pre-registration is required. It's from 6 to 7:30 in the East Bonner County Library, Community Room B. I had no idea that this even existed.
Well, when you were reading that, I had to giggle. Growing up, I grew up in South Bend, Indiana. That's Mayor Pete's town.
Yes.
And my Aunt Annie lived on the west side of South Bend, and we lived on the east side of South Bend. And in the summer, she'd call, and she'd be frantic. She'd say to my mother, "Tree, get your clothes in off the line. The storm is just awful here. The wind is just whipping about. You know, I've shut down the windows and whatever." And my mother would take in the laundry and whatever, and we'd wait. I think it's good that we have weather spotters, because Lord knows weather is can happen at any time, and it's nice to be aware of it. But that just made me think of a childhood memory that we used to laugh about. We'd wonder about Aunt Annie.
Yeah. I know when I talk to my mother on the phone, she usually likes to know what the weather is, because she expects to see about the same thing.
Like it happens that way.
It doesn't. No. But she...
His mother is in Minnesota.
I know.
I mean,
yeah.
Like weather here in North Idaho happens.
Yeah. She's probably listening right now via krfy.org.
Hi, Mrs. Peterson. How you doing?
She seems to think that it travels from west to east. And
it could.
It could.
It could.
It sometimes does. It does seem to line up occasionally, but a few days later.
Pardon?
Yeah. Mom's always right.
That's right. Yeah.
Absolutely.
She'll get it a few days after we get it out here. If it's hot, she expects hot weather and vice versa. Okay, here we are. here we are with the current
weather,
current weather forecast. It is presently overcast and 54 degrees in Sandpoint, Idaho, but I barely believe that. I rode my bike down here.
It's tropical.
This morning. Yeah, it's warm.
It's balmy.
It's that 82% humidity that's making it feel so warm.
82%?
That's what it says. So
Let's take a poll. Ellen?
Yeah.
No, you're inside the radio station. It is hot here. But did it feel 82%, John?
It felt damp this morning.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
It's a little sticky out there.
Because I think of 82 back in Indiana, and I thought I'd die.
Mm-hmm.
This is pleasant.
Yeah. Well, because it's only 54 degrees. So
Okay.
So
be that way.
We are therefore expecting heavy rain and breeziness today.
Yes.
A 50% chance of rain, but if it comes, it will be heavy. The high of today is 67 degrees. The low tonight is 48 degrees. And there is a 90% chance of heavy rain tonight. Tomorrow looks rainy as well. It wouldn't be lost in the 50s if we weren't getting a bunch of rain.
A bunch of weather, whether it be sleet or snow or rain or something like that. Hopefully everybody got their gardens out because we are in dire need of moisture. And so I do have the weather forecast for the Washington, D.C. area, as we always do. I say hello to my sister and brother-in-law who live in Arlington, and they just say, Alexa, 88.5 KRFY, and bammo, we are in their living room.
Right.
We travel well, don't we, Jack?
We do.
We don't have to, get on a plane. She says, good morning. Good morning. They're 3 hours different. They're like they're heading into lunch. 59 now, partly cloudy, high of 76 expected.
Well, okay.
Okay. We can live with that.
Mm-hmm. I've got tales to tell about my travels from last week, but
you didn't even tell me that you were going.
I know it was. I told you.
I took it. I took it personally.
But yeah, right. I didn't give you enough of a heads up.
Thank you, Carrie, for bailing me out.
Yeah. It was Mother's Day. I had to go. I saw my mother last week.
You did.
I did. I can elaborate on it later on in the show. I don't want to take up the whole hour, but I went.
So you went to Minnesota?
Wrong. I met my mother in Ithaca, New York. Actually,
Cornell University.
That's right. We toured the campus a little bit.
Oh my gosh,
it's very beautiful out there.
Oh my gosh,
and we saw a concert on Friday night.
The Dead?
Nope. The Dead.
Your mother could have been a deadhead.
She could have been. The Nearly Dead. We saw...
The Nearly Dead.
We saw...
We all are.
We saw Gordon Lightfoot.
Oh,
a gasp in the theater.
You bet.
Yeah. And he's 80 years old, and he is still performing and performing very well. It was a wonderful concert.
And did he do like some of his hits?
He did. And he did The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald, which is a
classic.
It's a classic.
Long,
it's like 7 minutes long, a lot
goes
of verses.
On forever.
As far as anyone in the audience knew, I don't think he forgot a word or a verse or anything.
Did he do like Early Morning Rain and Sundown?
He did. Yeah,
and
Sundown,
Old Dan's Records, and just a bunch.
I don't remember if he did Old Dan's Records. I do know there was not a dry eye in the house after he did.
If I could have read your mind, I'd have known
that's
that.
The one. Yeah, when he did. If you could read my mind, and that was that. Yeah, that. Everybody, there was a standing ovation after that one. It was beautiful.
And he is in quite a bit of rotation, not only in Otto, but also on the folk show every 9 o'clock on Thursday nights.
And still in fairly good voice, I would say. You know,
incredible.
He certainly is aging, but the work holds up, and it's wonderful to see.
Well, how neat.
Yeah.
How neat.
I'm so jealous.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. And I can talk more about that later on in the show if we need, but right now...
We've got other needs. Ellen's got a need, and John's got a need. Mm-hmm. And what are we talking about, guys?
We're talking about Jerry Kramer coming to town.
Ooby-dooby, and that would be on May 22nd.
Next Wednesday.
Okay. Yep. So Jerry's coming to town, and the reason why is Jerry coming to town to the Panada?
Well, we're having a fundraiser for the Daybreak Center. This will be Jerry's third time of coming to town and doing an event, and his fourth event that he's been around to help the Daybreak Center raise funds for operational purposes.
Can you talk about the Daybreak Center for those of us who don't know what it is?
Daybreak Center is one of the programs of Sandpoint Area Seniors, Inc., and it's a physical place that people can come to, a mobile home that is very cozy, feels like home away from home, and people who are dealing with 24/7 caregiving can get a break from that and bring their person to the Daybreak Center and leave them off and know that they're going to be cared for and know that they're going to have a good time. We do a lot with music and interaction, talking, stimulating the brain, a lot of games, and physical activity. So their person oftentimes ends up leaving much happier than they came, than they arrived.
So it's a mobile home and moves around from place to place?
No, it's a manufactured
home.
Manufactured home.
That's okay. Yeah. Was I the only one who mistook that? Jack?
It's on the property where the senior center is next door.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and then where's the senior center located?
820 Main Street.
820 Main, okay. And there's the structure by it.
Right.
Okay.
So there's the building that is the senior center that was started 45 years ago.
Okay.
And then, what, 10 years ago? Well, is it? The Daybreak Center.
It'll be 9 years at the Daybreak at this location. The Daybreak Center has been around since about 2006. This is the fourth location of the Daybreak Center has been located in.
So is this a sort of a permanent location?
This is permanent.
Yes. This is permanent. They took the wheels off it.
Yes.
Perfect. Well, it wasn't in the manufactured home before that. It was in rented spaces downtown and out in Kootenai. And finally found a home. John found the home for us.
So did it started, it was always part of the senior center?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it just
didn't have a space on site.
Sure.
So
it was very costly to
rent a space.
Rent a place for, and you know, when you're in limited funds, you need to try to save money and do something to make some money, and it just seemed logical to put it right next to the senior center. And we had the good fortune of someone donating the funds to buy the manufactured home and community support to help make it possible to get it set, and the landscaping and every part about this there was all volunteer and labor and monies donated for the landscaping materials, and community members, the Rotary helped, and it was a wonderful event seeing it go up. And the thought came about in April of 2010, and it opened up in October of 2010. So it moved forward quite rapidly.
Yeah.
How did you become involved with this, John? What's your story behind becoming involved with the Daybreak Center?
Well, it actually originally started, I worked for a company that went out of business, and I had told Norma, the director at that time, that I wouldn't be in the next day because I had just quit my job, and she said, "We'll see in the morning." And I said, "Norma, I won't. They'll send somebody else. I'd quit." And she said, "We'll see you." And I came in and finished the job, and I just found the need to help and volunteer around the senior center, and that's pretty much the story of it. It's offered me the opportunity to give back to the community that I'm part of, and it's pretty fulfilling in my life.
Ellen, who is the audience for the Daybreak Center?
It's for families dealing with Alzheimer's or memory issues. Occasionally, we'll have someone who's had a minor stroke. The families we have now, one of them, the fellow has early onset. He's in his 50s, and it's progressing fairly rapidly, unfortunately. It's really hard to watch. He's such a dear. And we've had folks all the way up to 85. So it's people who... some of them are more aware of the Alzheimer's than others, this particular fellow is very aware and very actively working to figure out what's going on. And the stages of Alzheimer's are different. Some of them it's not too bad, and then others are much worse.
So this is a place where caregivers can bring the person that they're with and bring them to the Daybreak Center, and this gives the caregivers a break.
Exactly. The caregiving, no matter whether it's cancer or Alzheimer's or the flu, it's a 24/7 job when you have a loved one who is not doing their best. And this gives them an opportunity to either go to work, which a lot of them over the years, we've had people who they're working and have to leave their mom off at 8 in the morning or quarter of, and then come back at 5:30. So we're very flexible in the time that we're open. We cater to the family needs. Most of them come for a few hours. Some come all day long. Some come every day. Some just come one day a week. It varies depending on the family situation. But this gives the person a time to go to the grocery store by themselves and not be worrying that their person's going to walk out the front door and when they turn their back and reach for, you know, an item. And gives them time to run other errands or just go home and take a nap or a bath or just have some time to read. Just some downtime where they are not fully focused on making sure their person is safe. Someone else is doing that for them, and they can have some downtime.
Well, I can speak from personal experience, having brought my mother to the age of 104, that my two sisters and I, she lived back in Indiana. We'd be 1 month on, 2 months approximately off. But fortunately, she was mobile. And her mind was intact until about the last week, but we could take her everywhere. But even then, there was a lot of, you know, the ability to get away, to get some space away, just to retool and come back. So caregivers are important.
It's really important, and it's becoming more and more common.
Oh, absolutely.
10,000 baby boomers are turning 65 every day in this country.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. 10,000.
Wow.
And I'm one of them. And,
Jack, was that an obscene gesture I just got from John?
Just a wave.
It was a wave. We're just giggling, Ellen, because earlier we were talking about age, and when you talk about baby boomers and whatever like this, some of us are at the one end of baby boomers, some of us are at the other end. And John is bringing up the rear, and I'm in the forefront of baby boomers.
Yeah, and Jack is another category.
He's hopeless. He didn't even see the Beatles on Ed Sullivan, so okay.
No.
I mean, whoa.
Yeah, that's a true marker.
Yeah.
That is. Okay, we've got the Daybreak Center laid out and what it does. Let's talk about the event next Wednesday at the Panada. For somebody who might not be familiar, what's going to occur?
Well, it's we have a VIP event that's being held first. Unfortunately for folks, the VIP event is sold out, but we still have a lot of general admission tickets available. Jerry's going to be talking about his career in playing for the Green Bay Packers. Also, his life here in Sandpoint and playing for the Bulldogs, talking about getting into the Hall of Fame in 2018. It should be a very interesting event. We have a few surprises going on throughout it. We're encouraging anyone that received the Jerry Kramer Award to make sure they get a ticket and come. It could be very interesting.
What is the Jerry Kramer Award?
Well, they have award that the Bulldogs give out for an outstanding athlete in football.
Gotcha.
And they've given that award since 1961.
Oh, wow. Okay.
There were a couple years there that they didn't give out the award, but there's a lot of young men still in the community.
Right.
That still live here that we'd like to show up. and believe that there is someone that's coming back from the Virginia area that received the award. I got a call from them a week or so ago. So it should be a very interesting event. We are going to have some silent auction items there. A real iconic picture of Jerry down at the beach from his youth. And speaking of age. And
amen.
Some other items, boat rentals and the likes. There'll be opportunity to get an autograph from Jerry. Everybody attending the event will get a free poster when they walk in the door. If no one has heard Jerry speak, there's probably no more dynamic speaker than Jerry to listen to. It's just a fantastic time to listen to the gentleman speak.
Is this a family event, would you suggest?
Oh, yes. Definitely. Everyone's welcomed. He's bringing his family.
Now, does he live locally or?
No, he lives down by Boise.
Okay.
And he has family that in the Spokane area here. And some here in the Sandpoint area and cousins and in-laws, outlaws, and the whole gamut of folks. I've had the fortunate opportunity to speak with Jerry several times. I'm still awestruck when I get to listen to him speak. He's a very dynamic individual, and I would highly recommend anyone to get there and enjoy the show and help out the Daybreak Center, and they're always in need of funds.
And also to honor someone from the community.
Definitely.
You know, in terms of somebody who has done exceptionally with his talents, and he's giving back to the community, and the community can recognize the role he has played from the Bulldog class of 1954.
Mm-hmm. Ooh. Do you, okay, baby boomers in the room.
That'd be John.
Yeah, you guys remember.
That'd be John.
I imagine you remember watching Jerry Kramer.
Receive passes from whom?
Bart Starr.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Well, I'm originally from Wisconsin.
Really?
I have.
Oh, yeah.
Paul Horning and James Taylor. I'm trying to remember who were some of the other wide receivers. Oh, yes, absolutely, on defense. Oh, my gosh. This is even pre-Ellen?
Ellen?
I was a year old in 54. Oh. I didn't follow football.
You didn't? What part of the United States were you growing up in?
I was outside of D.C. in Alexandria, Virginia.
Redskins. Redskins,
yes.
Yep.
Yes, there we actually, go. I do remember that.
Well, I remember very well where I was laying in on the floor in my folks' house watching that ice bowl.
I was going to ask you, do you remember the ice bowl?
Oh, you bet.
You know, that was like minus 20 degrees outside, and Bart Starr did a quarterback sneak like on a fourth down with 2 seconds to go.
Yep.
Something like that. Boy, is that blowing the dust off that memory, because I was a little kid as well, and I remember that.
I have no, I never saw him play. I guess I would know who he was just. I mean, you know, you do see his name around town here. I don't remember when I learned who Jerry Kramer was, though. He's outside of my.
Well, it doesn't matter as long as you've learned.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wednesday night.
Let's back up. Jack, what year were you born in?
I was born in 1986.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Okay.
I got wrinkles younger than that. Or older than that,
Older. We are here with Ellen Weissman and John Elsa. The Daybreak Center is bringing Memories of a Legend with Jerry Kramer, May 22nd. That's next Wednesday, 7 to 8:30 p.m. at the Panada Theater. There are still tickets available. It is a great thing to do. Let's take a music break and come back and talk more about the event as well as the Senior Center. Here is a song that comes from an album that was released on this date in 1966. Some consider this to be the best Beach Boys album, Pet Sounds, and this was the third release and the best-selling of the singles coming off that album. See if you remember this. Released on this date in 1966, 53 years ago today. That is Wouldn't It Be Nice, the Beach Boys from their Pet Sounds album. Are you familiar with that album, Jack?
Very much so, yeah.
It's one that what I think is sort of like the top 100 albums of all time. It's like number four or five.
It's always in the conversation.
It's always, absolutely. And I have to admit, it's not one that's ever worked for me.
Not your favorite?
No. And I've got Beach Boy problems.
Yeah, that could be. You might have Beach Boy problems. Did you listen to it like when it first came out? Or when did you come to the...
Right about the time when it came out, mainly because Paul McCartney of the Beatles was really challenged by what the Beach Boys were doing, and I never understood that. I thought the Beatles were in a class by themselves. Shows you how much I know.
I like Pet Sounds, and I think going back and listening to it, I think, first of all, I do think it holds up.
Does it hold up? I was going to ask you that.
Yeah, and I do think that going back and listening to it, knowing historically that a lot of the stuff that you're hearing has never been on record before. These are, the kind of sound effects, the transition with like the moving train and stuff like that it's stuff that had never been done, put on a commercial record before. So
I am aware that what the Beach Boys were doing in the studio really hit with the Beatles in terms of, because they ended up becoming studio musicians after they quit touring.
Yeah.
In about 66. How about you, John? Ellen, were you Beach Boy fans?
Not particularly. I remember listening to it, but it was not always, it wasn't necessarily something I was real into.
it was there. It was like California Girls or all of their surf music.
We didn't do much surfing back in Wisconsin.
I was going to say Wisconsin. You were more of the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald, weren't you?
Yeah.
Up on Lake Superior.
No, the blues, actually. Blues was always big back in the Midwest.
Oh. A lot of reason to be bluesy. I'm from the Midwest. I can say that. We're here with Ellen Weissman and John Elsa, and we've been talking about the Daybreak Center. They're bringing Jerry Kramer to the Panada on May 22nd. That's next Wednesday, 7 to 8:30. Where can one get tickets?
We have tickets over at the Senior Center, 820 Main Street. You can call and we can hold them for you if you're not going to be able to come for a few days. It's 208-263-6860. And it's $8 for general admission. As John said, the pre-event is sold out. But Jerry will be hanging around after the show and signing autographs. And it's going to be a fun night. So we have tickets there. You can also go online at panada.org and get tickets that way, too, on the web.
And the proceeds go to the Daybreak Center.
They're going for administrative costs for the Daybreak Center. I really appreciate John doing this. He's put this whole thing together. We have a lot of... I've gotten a few grants in for respite care assistance for families, but we don't have a way that the Daybreak makes money, per se. It's a service. The whole Senior Center is the whole organization is a service organization. So it's not like we have a product that we sell. We have this service we provide. So this fundraiser in particular is going to administrative costs, which we really need, and we hope we have a full house so that we can pay some bills. So it'll be really a fun night.
Yesterday, I did a little bit of trying to raise some more funds and awareness of the event, and I spoke with a bunch of folks yesterday about trying to see if they'd be interested in helping out on an ad about the event, and so many of them had no idea what the Daybreak Center is about. They hadn't even heard of it, so I think that by raising some more funds, we can bring some more awareness of the Daybreak Center to the community, and that in turn allows more people to use the facility and help those families out.
I think that's one thing that Jack and I have discovered over the years doing the morning show, that there are so many people and organizations improving the quality of life for people here in the North Idaho that people don't know about, and we're oftentimes surprised. For example, the Daybreak Center, helping caregivers and giving them a break. You know, I think that's a... Let me go back and ask you something, John. You were a cheesehead from youth?
Yes.
Okay. And
I don't have my cheese hat on right now, but I do have one. I'll let you know that.
You do? I'd like to see a picture of you with that on your head with the headphones.
Yeah, that would be something. You probably won't ever see that.
Yeah. That would be tricky. Thank goodness radio is not a visual medium.
Or you wouldn't be in it.
Amen on that. I'll be the first to agree. Did you know when you moved here that this was Jerry Kramer's home base?
No, I did not.
So what a thrill it must have been when you connected the dots.
Well, I remember the first time we had, the story goes back, we had thought about, his sister-in-law worked over at the center, and I thought about doing a fundraiser. I like doing fundraising, and one day I come in the morning, and the director, Norma, had said something to me about the fact that somebody came in to wanted to see if they could do some work around the senior center. And she said that he would do anything, and she sent him outside, and he was raking up pine needles in the yard. Well, it wasn't a short time later that she realized she had just sent Jake Plummer, Jake the Snake, out to rake in the yard. So when I heard that story, I thought, whoa, we could do a heck of a fundraiser. And that was the first one in 2009, and Jake and Jerry were quick to jump on to help. Both of them had family members that were had Alzheimer's and dementia issues, and they were real quick to get on board to help out on this event. So but I remember the first night Jerry came to town, and I showed him to where he was going to be staying, and he invited me in to talk for a while. And I took 3 days for the smile to come off my face when I left there. It was a very interesting conversation with him, some great stories.
Well, what's sort of fun is that here you were a young person, and to get to meet one of the real legends of Vince Lombardi's teams.
Yes,
That must have been a treat.
Well, I will say one of the greatest things that happened was at the second event, Jerry mentioned me and my involvement with the Daybreak Center. And when he was talking to me about me, I felt like I was a little kid sitting in that big red chair over on Fifth Avenue. It was something else. I'll never forget that.
Okay, that is next Wednesday, Memories of a Legend with Jerry Kramer, 7 to 8:30. Pre-event reception, 5:30 to 6:30. The proceeds go to the Daybreak Center.
I just wanted to add that John's volunteering his time for all this, and all the organizations and businesses who have donated already to put this event on, it's just so fabulous. And we have board members who will be volunteering that night, and other volunteers come in to the Daybreak Center and help out during the day. And we couldn't be doing this without that that help. I mean, it's more than a one-person job, and I'm just really grateful John decided to take this on.
Well, it's my pleasure, but keep in mind that I've done part of it. It's the community that's really putting this together, because they're the ones that have contributed time and money and gifts and you name it. This community is just unbelievable. Every week there's something that goes on around here where someone's giving back. And that's what life's about.
And also want to say thanks to both of you because of the work that you do here in the community, help to, you know, make it a great place to be.
Thank you. It's a great town.
Absolutely. Let's talk.
And you're not bad yourself, by the way.
What about Jack?
Okay.
He hasn't been around long enough to
No.
Well, thank you, John. We have a few minutes. What are some of the other upcoming activities at the Senior Center?
Well, I want to let folks know to save the date for Father's Day weekend. We're having our third barbecue with the Injectors Car Club. It's Saturday, June 15th.
Okay. The Ides.
11
the
to
Ides,
2.
Ides of June.
Ides of June. It's coming. It's right around the corner. I can't believe how fast it's going. And this year, Burger Express, Michael Bogue is doing something he did last year at the last minute. And this year, we're planning it so people will know more. On the Wednesday prior to that Saturday event, he is giving all the proceeds from 5 until 7 at the Burger Express. All the sales, 100% of the sales from those 2 hours are going to help fund the food purchases for Saturday's barbecue. So we're having a little pre-fundraiser fundraiser before the fundraiser on Saturday. So two chances to eat burgers. And
nothing wrong with that, but a big shout out to Michael.
Big shout out to Michael.
Michael is an incredible member.
Yeah.
Incredible member of the community.
And the Injectors Car members will be having their cars out in the parking lot at the center. And it's just another fun time, really fun, on Saturday, just prior to Father's Day. And want to thank Winter Ridge. Right now they have their Bags of Change going on with if you bring your shopping bag with you, or bags, they'll give you a token for the bags that you bring in rather than using their paper sacks when you check out. And then the token goes in, hopefully in our senior center, or Sandpoint Area Seniors jar. There are three jars there, and ours is one of them. So you put it in there, and then they give back for how many tokens are in there. So that's really
Winter Ridge is a great organization.
Fabulous.
They do
Great stuff. And if you're in the library or near the library, stop by the library and look at the heads that are on display. We had a class last fall. Mark Kubiak is a local sculptor and walked in the center and said, do you want a clay class? Self-portraits in clay. And offered this class. So we have 6 heads on display in the library at lobby and had a little reception last week. And it's just really fun, and he's going to offer the class again in the fall. So that was a delight to hear him say that. So if anyone's interested in taking it, let us know who you are, and we'll get in touch with you in the fall and do it again. So the heads are really cool. One of them's mine. You can guess which one. It looks more like my dad than it does me.
So
it was made by you.
It's a self-portrait.
He taught us how to use calipers and measure on our heads, and there are certain distances on the heads, I don't remember at the moment, but that match, that they're the same, like chin to nose is the same as nose to ear or something. I don't remember now. But it's fascinating.
Who knew?
Not me.
Who knew? And yeah, who knew? And it was great. It was such a learning process. And once a week for, I think we went 8 weeks. And then they were fired, and now they're on display. So it's great.
Are you proud of yours?
I'm proud of mine.
It looks pretty good?
It looks okay.
Yeah.
It looks okay. So one of them, the gal cut the top off and made it into a planner.
Yeah.
And that's she's very skilled. And
that would be cool.
Yeah. So Lita Judd took the class, and it was great.
You could do like a hanging plant of some kind.
Yeah. So she put a plant
your hair.
In the
like
head.
A chia pet.
Right. Yes.
Yeah. Precisely.
Right. So stop by the library. They're up until June 4th.
And when you're going to the library tonight to become a weather watcher,
right? There you go.
Take a peek
at the lobby. It's on the left, the second display case on the left.
Okay. So be sure to bring your reusable grocery bags to Winter Ridge so you can help out. Well, it's you and 2 other, I'm sure, worthy organizations. But
Senior like Center and Daybreak Center we're under the umbrella of Sandpoint Area Seniors Inc.
Right.
So it's one big organization that's very confusing.
Sassy.
But sassy, right. So trying to brand it as sassy, but who knows if that'll help. Because we are sassy seniors.
Yes.
We bowled for the food hunger bowl that Debbie Love put on for the food bank about a month ago, and we were the sassy bowlers.
Nice.
So it was pretty cool.
I think we talked about that last time you were in.
Yeah.
You guys came in second?
Came in second.
Yeah.
Right? Yep. Good memory.
Well, good. I think we should broadcast that event next time.
Yes.
We should be live
that
live
would be
in.
fabulous.
Yes. I don't
live
know
bowling.
How
you...
Live
yeah.
bowling. That would be fabulous.
That would
do
be
a remote.
Yeah. That'd be different.
Remote
it
broadcast.
Would be. Hey, you guys, okay, so. It's we got a few minutes. Let me ask you guys, baby boomers, from the generation where, well, not, but you would remember, I suppose, your parents being into bowling. It was a great big sporting event of the 50s and 60s mainly.
Missed that too.
You did, yeah.
We used to go bowling.
There used to be magazines, like, following bowling and stuff. Like, you could, you know, professional bowlers, there was, like, a bowling... Not just like a Sports
Leagues
Illustrated for bowling, yeah.
Oh,
and it used to be covered much more broadly than it is now. Now it's mostly like a, you know.
Well, going bowling was a great date event. Taking your date
sure.
bowling.
My first date was going bowling.
But I can remember, you know, with Ellen being a DC baby, I remember going candlestick bowling there.
Yes.
And this would be.
Yes.
This would be.
Would the flame go out when you rolled them down the?
They weren't duck pins, and they weren't full size.
No.
They were candlestick. They were in between.
And you could roll. Yeah, the ball was like the size of a softball.
Yes. Yeah.
And you could roll the ball through it and not hit a thing.
Yeah.
Oh.
You know, at least that happened to me. You know, but it was just a great alley game.
Mm-hmm.
Bowling no longer is as popular as it once was, but I thought it was a great, you know, the weather didn't make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Did you bowl in Wisconsin?
Oh, yeah, we did. It was a great place to go drink beer.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's Wisconsin.
It's Wisconsin, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. Cheese, beer, brats.
And the Packers.
And the Packers.
We have Wii Bowling at the center on Thursday, on the last Thursday of the month. Alpine Vista folks come over and we have a competition with the Wii Bowling on the TV screen.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So it's pretty good.
Well, I've done that Wii Bowling.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that event back years ago when we first got the Wii Bowling at the center, had invited the video club from the high school to come over and help the seniors with learn how to use the Wii Bowling and stuff, had pizza and pop and everything.
Oh,
it was wonderful bringing the young folks in with the seniors. They just had a great time.
Absolutely.
Great time.
Can't do that enough. But mm-hmm. I can remember when I was learning bowling, you know, I was just always the straight ball down the center and hit this first pin. And, you know, but you see these bowlers on television now, you know, their ball nearly goes into the gutter before the English catches up and it comes in at an angle. And I'm just amazed at what they can do with it. It's great fun. We want to thank Ellen and John for coming in with us this morning.
Thank you.
Memories of a Legend with Jerry Kramer. Memories of a Legend with Ellen and John. Next
we're
Wednesday.
We're not the legend yet.
Mm-hmm. You're working on
save
it.
That for somebody
working
else.
On it, right.
Working on it. That
but Jerry is a homegrown legend.
Every time he speaks anywhere, when he spoke at the Hall of Fame event, he always brings up the little town of Sandpoint where he grew up.
Yeah, it's sort of like, yay. May 22nd, next Wednesday, 7 to 8:30 at the Panada. Tickets are available at the Sandpoint Senior Center, 820 Main Street. And
at the door.
And also. At the door. And let's fill the theater.
Yes.
Please do.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it'll be fun. Fun night.
Thanks to both of you. Thanks for really doing good here in the community to both of you. Your organizations are wonderful.
Well, thank you for helping us get the word out.
Yeah.
You
bet.
It
means a great deal.
Absolutely. We've got a song coming up. It was on this date, May 16, in 1984, 35 years ago, that Prince released When Doves Cry with the movie Purple Rain. This was his first number one song. That is When Doves Cry from Purple Rain by Prince. This was released on this date in 1984.
Okay.
On this date in 1984. Do you like the movie Prince?
I'm embarrassed to say that I've never seen Purple Rain. Okay. I like the album.
Oh, definitely.
I mean, the music's very good.
And speaking of music, for people who have CDs, this is spring house cleaning time, and we've got rainy days ahead, so do indoor activities. Look at your CD collection and ask yourself, what was the last time or when was the last time I played that CD or this CD? Recognizing that sometimes CDs sit on your collection, your shelf, and they don't have a home, mainly because you haven't played them. Bring them down to the station here. We are accepting CD donations. And what we do is we run them through our iTunes library, number one, and then we use them for the Crazy Day sale this year. It's the last Saturday in July, July 27th. It's a fundraiser. And we'll be selling the CDs, and it's a way that we can bring in revenue. And then whatever does not sell, we donate to the library, and they're so thankful. So it's a way to get your music that you're not listening to, giving it extra life. So bring your CDs down to the radio station here on First Avenue, and we'll be most appreciative.
And, I mean, then you'll probably hear it more. Because we'll put it in right into our musical library here, and we can, if there's some good tracks on there, we'll be sure to put them in Otto's Eclectic Mix.
We received a plethora,
a plethora.
I don't like that word, but I like of Latin music, which we can always use in world, and just some great stuff. Jazz, you know, when John Royans comes back from Ohio, I'm going to alert him to a bunch of jazz CDs and then soundtracks we received yesterday. We're just absolutely thrilled with donations. So thank you so much, those of you who have contributed, and thanks to those of you who will be contributing. And if you want more information, you can call 265-2992.
And you can see it'll be you out on the street. Am I wrong, Jim?
Yes.
End of July.
And usually Velma, Queen of Fun.
With the bounty that we collect here.
And meeting the community and enjoying a lovely day. Okay, let's look at some events. I have Sip and Shop for Angels Over Sandpoint. That is tonight, the 16th. Enjoy a glass of wine and an appetizer while supporting Angels Over Sandpoint during a Sip and Shop from 4 to 8 p.m. at the Ponderay Winery, 301 Cedar Street. 10% of all purchases made during the event will be donated to the Angels Over Sandpoint, a local charity organization that's been providing aid, scholarships, and support to the Sandpoint community for 20 years. It's free and open to the public. So Sip and Shop for Angels Over Sandpoint, 4 to 8 at the Ponderay Winery.
Cool. It is Lost in the 50s time again. If somehow you are in Sandpoint on this day, this Thursday, and you don't know what Lost in the 50s is, I don't know how that is possible. But it is, it's the 30-something annual Lost in the 50s celebration, mainly a car show that goes on with a parade on Friday night and a car show all day downtown on Saturday. Taking over the whole town. There is rock and roll parties on, Thursday night. Tonight is Rock and Roll Heaven 14. This is out at the Bonner County Fairgrounds, 4203 North Boyer Avenue. It sells out almost every year, and it is the opening event for the 34th annual Lost in the 50s celebration. There's an Elvis impersonator. Girls groups of the 40s through the 60s, Jerry Lee, and a new band, The Lovers, which is all going on out at the fairgrounds tonight, Thursday, May 16th. Call 263-9321 for more information. Find out if there's any tickets available. The parade is tomorrow. I mentioned
that's right. Yeah. I sort of giggle with Lost in the 50s. I resonate with that as clueless in the 50s.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, was I ever. I was lost in the 50s.
Yeah.
But I do remember the 50s, and I do remember the drive-ins and the music.
Mm-hmm.
The music was just incredible, and the cars, the automobiles.
You will hear that music just piped around town tomorrow or Saturday.
Let's hope the weather holds, but boy, it just doesn't look good.
Yeah. Let's see. So the parade is tomorrow, the 17th. It starts at 6 p.m., starts out in the, I think in the high school parking lot, comes down Pine Street, does a loop through downtown, and then right. goes up Cedar Street, or vice versa, whatever. And the parade starts at 6 p.m. Immediately after the parade, there's a street dance in at 2nd Avenue and Main Street. So that block right behind us here at the radio station, they kind of block it off and turn it
I just love all the people, particularly the younger crowd, dressing mm-hmm. up with poodle skirts and the tight white T-shirts with the pack of cigarettes in the sleeve yeah. rolled up. I mean, boy, was that a fantasy. I don't really uh-huh. remember people doing that.
Okay, and then the car show and a dance is tomorrow. The best band in the land, Rocky and the Rollers, out at the fairgrounds on Saturday, as well as Little Anthony and the Imperials. So, 208-263-9321 for more information and tickets and all of that. And what else is going on this weekend? That's, of course, the focus of the events around town this weekend. There is also it's the week of Sandpoint Community Sing, which is a community singing engagement that you can come and you don't have to be a professional singer. It is held at 7 o'clock p.m. tonight in the, where is it? It's every Thursday in Downtown Yoga.
Downtown Yoga.
Okay. I thought it was every other Thursday or something like that. Now they're doing it
every
Thursday.
Maybe they have switched it to. Yeah. At the Hive, now it says 1718. There's a hyphen. Is it both nights? Collectivity. Hmm. Come and dance the night away at the Hive, 207 North 1st Avenue, with Ben Mysterica and Collectivity from San Francisco. Doors open at 7 and the show starts at 8:30. Collectivity is an all-star seven-piece jazz, funk, and psychedelic soul unit featuring some of the Bay Area's finest musicians. That's at the Hive on Friday, and I'm assuming Saturday, the two nights. Excellent. That is 7 p.m. Show starts at 8:30. And then, of course, on Saturday morning, Farmers Market.
Yes. And and that farmers market does go from 9 to 1. Do they do anything? Do they move at all or work around the car show that also?
I don't know. I went down last weekend and Sam Cornette was playing mm-hmm. The music. It's just a great social event, and it's one of the highlights, I think, of a weekend is just take your time, go around the farm and park and see the different booths, the flowers, the produce, the baked goods, on, and see people whom you haven't seen all winter.
It is, yeah, I do love, especially those early farmers markets. Everybody comes out, even though there's
great.
Yeah, not too much stuff, but
there's starters. You're getting mm-hmm. starters.
Let's see, lots of live music going on this weekend. I don't even think we have time to mention it all.
Can go back mm-hmm. to starters and plants, I ran into Debbie Love this past week mm-hmm. over at the Bonner Community Food Bank, and she had a neat idea suggesting just throw it out. When you're planting your garden, plant a row for the food bank, you know, whether it be carrots or radishes, just plant a row. Huh. The need for fresh produce over at the food bank, and it's one way that locally grown produce finds its way to the people who need it. And so, you know, if you have a big enough garden, plant a row there and take it over the results over to the food bank.
Okay, we're out of time. There's a fundraiser dinner out in Spirit Lake, which is
a spaghetti dinner.
Yeah.
Very important.
At the Linger Longer Lounge. But that's not until Sunday evening.
Call 208-714-9548 for more information. Jack, good to be with you.
And you, Jim. We are now out of time, so stay tuned for Bird Note and Otto's Eclectic Mix all day long here on 88.5 KRFY. Ponderay.